Our scripture reading for today is from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21, from the New Revised Standard Version. I'll do my best to follow Danny's lead on the children's sermon. Today's discussion is on the parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he said to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." Word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Jim, and let us pray.
Lord, as your word has come to us, it's come to us in a manner that, for me at least, it's like a 2x4 across the forehead. So Lord, help us to see beyond ourselves in the midst of your word. And may your word stretch us to be more than we were. Help us to live into the image that you've created us to be, the image of your very self. So we ask this of the one who helped to create us, in Jesus' name, amen. So do you remember your first jobs besides emptying the dishwasher or sleeping? The one where you actually had taxes taken out, let's say that, okay? And I remember my very first job. I was a freshman in high school and I worked as a delivery clerk at ML Bath Incorporated, which was an office supply place in Shreveport, Louisiana. My dad was the controller, so that's how I got the job. But I worked in the basement, and I was the delivery clerk that walked on foot with my little buggy all over downtown Shreveport. And in the middle of the summer, I realized that Shreveport's downtown is nothing but concrete. And it's very hot and sweaty and gross. And I would walk into the office buildings that were very swanky, and I'd go deliver things to secretaries who would look at me like, "Don't sit down. You smell." They don't tell you that, but you can see it in their face. I'm very perceptive, even at a young age. And I remember that job because I made almost $3 an hour. And that was like gold. And what did I do with my money? Nothing. Everything I needed was already there, so I just put it in the bank. Next summer, I worked at Albertsons, which is a grocery store. And that was real fun. Have to wear a white shirt with a tie. No, it wasn't fun. Clean up on aisle 5. Something's busted in the dairy department. Courtesy clerks, come to the front. Even if you're on your break, you had to go clean up this, you had to do that. And it was, I learned the grocery business was not for me. The next few summers, I worked for my uncle in the chemical mud business in the oil industry and gas industry in North Louisiana. That was one of the dirtiest jobs I've ever had in my life, because I was the grunt. I was the one that had to go into the mud house and take the sacks of gel and put it in there, and sack after sack after sack. If you know anything about chemical mud, you'll know that it's activated by water, and sweat activates it. And so by the end of that delivery, I am head to toe nothing but gel. And the only water that's on site in at the well site is salt water. So you wash off, you get back in the truck. By the time you get back to the warehouse, you're crusted with salt. And if you're lucky, you get to take a break and go wash off with regular water. If not, you have to get back in the truck and load and go to another place. I learned in that two summers that the oil and gas business was not for me. And then the job that really kind of put me over the edge was working for T.L. James Incorporated. I got that job, and is anybody here from the NCAA, the athletics for college? Anyone? Good, then I can tell the story. I got that job because I was going to be on the Louisiana Tech track team, track and field. Remember, I threw the discus. So I got the job to work, and so I was going and doing road construction in Shreveport. And I learned very early in that I have no good way to use my hands. Because every time I used a hammer, every time I used something, I would be a bloody mess. And I had concrete all in my eyes and my mouth and my nose. It was just a mess. So we've all had these jobs that we've had, and typically by the time I got to work for T.L. James, I was making almost $9 an hour. But by that time, I had learned, hey, you can buy things with money. You can do all sorts of things with money. And you can get this, you can get that, and you can get this, you can get that, and all of a sudden, whatever you had saved is now accumulated in things. We've all had those moments in our life, and sometimes I still are in those moments. But the question for us today is, we're taking care of business. Kind of like the song from Bachman Turner Overdrive, but the question is, whose business are we taking care of? Ours or God's? Now that's not an either or, it can be a both and. Ours or God's? Over the last 30 years, the number of storage places has incrementally grown, exponentially grown. When I was a child, there were no storage places for anybody. Whatever you had it at your house. But then over the last 30 years, things have just poof, poof, poof. And we were asking, when we moved here, are there any storage places? Well, not much in Destrehan, because we're the reclaimed swamp. Land is precious. But Laplace and across the river, there's all sorts of land. We've become the accumulators of stuff. I can speak about this honestly. I just moved here. And anytime you move, and this is one of the reasons why I hate moving, you have to deal with stuff. And we move our stuff, and then we don't know where to put our stuff. Because we still got boxes at the house. I still got boxes in my office. I'm trying to figure out where to put stuff. And there ought to be some kind of rule that says if you haven't used it in a year, then do you really need to keep it? In my last congregation, there was a group of women, and my wife was a part of that group, that studied a book by Jen Hatmaker called The Seven Project. And the point of that was to look at your stuff and realize that, do you really need that many pairs of shoes? Did I just go somewhere where I shouldn't have? Because I have more shoes than my wife does. Do you really need that many pairs of this and that and this? And do you really need that? And the point of it was, if you have more than seven, meaning that sets of clothing, one for each day of the week, do you really need that? Because typically, at our house, we do laundry throughout the week. And I have my favorites that I go to. And I've got stuff hanging in my closet that I'm like, someday I'm going to wear that. Or someday I'm going to fit back into that. And that someday has been several months, if not years ago. And you're thinking, well, preacher, I think you're stepping on my toes. You're really getting in my business here. Well, that's what I get paid to do. Because I get to preach to me as well as to you. I've dealt with folks in my 30 plus years of ministry who have struggled with what their life has become. And they'll look at themselves and say, you know, I have done all of this by myself. I am a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. I have created all of this from my own hands. And every time I hear that, and I've heard that more times than I would like to recall from out of people's mouths, I want to play the advocate, or it's the devil's advocate, but in this case it's God, so you can't call it the devil's advocate. When Job, you remember Job, that funny character, funny odd character in the Bible who was struggling with what's going on in his life and his friends and everything else, and he's really, look what I've done. Why is all this happening? Because I have been this. I've done that. And God said to him, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. And who stretched the line upon it? And what were its bases sunk? And who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick in darkness with its swaddling band and prescribed bounds for it and set bars and doors and said, thus far shall you come and no farther. Here shall your proud waves be stopped. And God goes on and on and on with this proud man, thinking that he has done all of this, that he has been that good, that God shakes him to the core and says, really? Where were you when I created you? God gave us hands, he gave us gifts, he gave us lots of things. And the parable of the rich fool reminds us that we may have a bumper crop. But we have a bumper crop because God gave us the seed. God provided the water from the heavens. God provided the rich soil from which it sprang forth. God provided the right elements for everything to happen so that there would be a bumper crop. So what are we going to do with that bumper crop? Well, sometimes we tear down our small barns and build bigger barns. I don't know if you counted how many times that the rich young fool was saying, mine or my, but it's more than you really want to count. Because everything in his time with God was refocusing upon himself. So how can we not end up like the rich fool? See, the Bible is very consistent in the theme that we have been blessed to be a blessing, that we are given to so that we may give to others. We are blessed so that we might be the blessing. We are loved so that we might love. We are reconciled so that we might reconcile. We are forgiven so that we might forgive. You see, what happens when we accumulate stuff is we forget from which it came. We think that we were able to do all of this by ourselves. So how is it going to be different for you and for me? I mean, we live in the richest nation in the world per capita. And we do say, God bless America. But I think we forget that God has already blessed America. And we just got to figure out how to be the blessing to those who are hungry, for those who are thirsty, for those who are homeless, for those that are in need of clothing, for those that are in need of care, for those who are in need of Jesus. See, the tendency of the human, because of the human condition and sin, is that, well, I'm going to take care of me and mine. And if there's anything left over, I might help somebody else. See, when God dealt with the human spirit along in this journey, the whole idea of first fruits came about. And the point of first fruits is that whatever is the best, whatever is the first, which is usually the best, whatever is the first, you give that to God. And then live off of what is left. And what I have learned in my short life is that when I do that, there's more than enough for me and mine. It's only when I learn how to let go of my stuff that I can be free. Free to be a vessel of blessing and forgiveness and reconciliation and love. Can we do that? Will we do that? That's the real question. Would you pray with me? Lord God, thank you for grace. For even for the times that we really, really mess it up. So Lord, we pray that in these moments that you will help us to claim the freedom that there is in Christ. Even the freedom from our stuff. So come, Lord Jesus, speak to us, lead us, love us as we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to be up here praying with and for you. If you want to join me, I would love that. If you want to pray for anything specific, I would love to pray with you. If you want to come to Christ today for the first time, I invite you to come and I can pray with you about that. If you want to join this congregation by transferring your membership from another congregation, I invite you to do that. But whatever God is doing, I've learned in my short little life here, is the more that I ignore God, the larger God becomes around me. So I want to invite you to not ignore God, but listen to his voice as he leads you in these moments. So I'm going to invite you to stand as April and the band will lead us in this time of worship. Gifts will be used for John's healing. So, Lord, we offer all of this, even our worry, even our concern, and especially our joys of life and love that we celebrate. We offer all of that into your mighty hand. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all right. That's all right, brother.
Joy of the Lord. I'm laying down the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen.
Amen. So, you and I get to be an opportunity of grace and mercy in the world today. That question still is, will we? Will we participate in the rhythm of God to love and to care?